Okay.
Well, hi everyone joining us from a future time as we record our Owls Bible study this morning. It's a small group of us. We're still trying to get word out about how to use Zoom. You can, of course, log in on a on a computer, laptop, tablet, that sort of thing. You can call in on your cell phone. You can call in on a landline too. So if you can join us, you're more than welcome to. It's Pastor John here along with Pastor Harvey, and Cheryl has joined us again this week. So our reading comes from Mark 13. It's verses 1 through 8, and then we skip some and go to 24 through 37. So I'm going to start by reading Mark 13, 1 through 8, and then Pastor Harvey will take over verses 24 through 37. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
Verse 24. "But in those days, after suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home, he puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And that I say to you all, keep awake."
So in some ways, this seems like a spookily appropriate text to be reading, given our current circumstances. We've got some linkage to the previous text from last Sunday with the widow's mite and how the widow, you know, gives everything to the temple treasury. And then as they're leaving the temple, one of Jesus's disciples, you know, marvels, "Look, teacher, at, you know, what it's actually more literal translation is not necessarily what large stones and buildings, rather what kind of, look, do you see the, "Look, teacher, what kind of stones?" You know, it's a little more nuanced. Hang on, someone is texting me. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to let I was supposed to let the organist in to practice for this coming Sunday, and he's texting me. And I'm not there because my wife, oh gosh. Dad, can you want to take over a little bit while I figure this out?
All right, that's fine. I think there's a very interesting contrast because Jesus has spent his time admiring the widow and her offering at the temple courtyard. And so you can see what he thinks is important and valuable. He thinks it's a matter of faith being important and valuable. And then they walk out and the dumb disciples act like dumb disciples. What are they considered to be great and valuable? That magnificent building that's standing there. They are impressed by that. Jesus is impressed by faith, and they're impressed by buildings, human accomplishments. I think that contrast is very remarkable, especially when you think that right before the widows, widow gives her offering. Jesus has been condemning the scribes and the Pharisees, wanting to be impressed by people with their long robes and prayers and so forth. And Jesus is not impressed with that. Instead, he's impressed by this widow who gives her last bit of income and expressing her faith. And then you have this contrast with what Jesus is impressed with and what the disciples are impressed with. So they're impressed with the building, which was pretty impressive.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to run out to Ebenezer and let Rick in so he can practice like he wanted to and come back. So Christina will end the Zoom if I'm not back in time to end it. So sorry about that. I'll be back as soon as I can. You two go on without me.
Okay, we'll go on then. Jesus is not impressed at all. Verse 2, not stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. What Pastor John was trying to get at is that the translation here, all will be thrown down, it can also be understood to be not quite so dramatic, but when you keep in mind that Mark wrote his gospel probably fairly soon after the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, that this would have been a very fresh issue for the Jews and for the Christians, because the temple was important for both of them. And Jesus is ending up saying here, well, the temple may not be as important as you thought it was. There will not be stone left upon stone. And that's exactly what the Romans did. They tore it down entirely. And to this very day, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to see the Wailing Wall, which is, we might say, kind of the foundation of the temple. So that which they put all their faith in is it's in the wrong place. And Jesus says it's going to be thrown down. They walk down to the Kidron Valley and go across to the Mount of Olives and look back over Jerusalem. That gives Peter, James, and John time to think about what Jesus has said. Then they're curious. They say, well, tell us then when it will be. And they make it very odd. When will the temple be thrown down? When will all these things are going to be accomplished? Jesus repeatedly talks to them. They translate it, Jesus began to say to them. But it's something that that's continuing to go on. Beware that no one leads you astray. So he's warning them that there are going to be many false teachers out there. Many will come and say, you know, we've got the truth. We'll tell you how it's all going to be. And And then he says to them, and then you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. That happens in every generation. This must take place before the end still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. So Jesus is talking about things that have happened in every generation since Jesus has been around. So, and he's, and I think this whole chapter 13 in the Gospel of Mark is what we call the little apocalypse. Matthew and Luke also have the little apocalypse, and it occurs at the same time when Jesus is done disputing with the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple yard, and he's talking to his disciples. All this is occurring right before you get into the what we call the passion narrative itself, where Jesus is going to, they're plotting to kill Jesus, and Judas is betraying him, and so forth. So this is kind of the last teaching section in Mark, this little apocalypse. And you know, apocalyptic things are signs of many bad things happening around, and people look at them and say, well, is God going to break in? Right now, I think people might be asking the same kind of a question with this coronavirus and people at home and so forth. It gives you that odd, eerie feeling about, well, what's going on. And Jesus says, you're going to hear, these things are going to happen. They're going to happen in every generation. You're going to have false messiah. You're going to have wars and rumors of wars. You're going to have earthquakes. You're going to have drought and famine. You might even add, you're going to have plagues too. And we can look at what's going on right now as kind of as a plague. So this is what Jesus begins this little apocalypse in, and he's going to go in and talk about other things related to it. He's going to talk about how they're going to be persecuted and cast out of the synagogues, which is exactly the thing that was happening when Mark was writing his gospel. And he says they're going to be persecuted, and he says don't plan what you're going to say. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to help you. And that there was going to be divisions in family. And that was happening to Christians too. If they say, I'm following Jesus, they could find themselves thrown out of the family. And he talks about the desolating sacrilege in verse 14. This is probably a reference back to the time of the Maccabeans, about 167 BC, when the Greek emperor was trying to impose Greek religion upon the Jewish people, and he went in and desecrated the temple with swine and with offerings to other gods and so forth. So, and then in Jewish mind, that was about the worst thing that you could imagine. And that's how the awfulness had descended upon them, and they were going to flee, and some were going to run to their, you don't have time to go up to their housetop. They just have to get away from the bad things that are coming. There will be suffering such as not been from the beginning of creation, and verse 19. And he goes on to say, and there will be all kinds of false messiahs around. They will appear and produce signs to lead many astray. He said, so don't be surprised that all these bad things are happening. And I guess we shouldn't be too surprised about all the bad things happening in our day. And then we're going to pick up on our text again with verse 24, where he talks about the sun will be darkened and the stars, the moon will not give light, the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. So he's saying there's going to be all kinds of cosmic events too. It's not just our own personal life. Then people will say, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Now, this is a reference back to Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel, this is in the part of Daniel, the last chapters of Daniel, have a series of visions. They're really what we call apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature was very popular in the time of the Persian rule and thereafter. And apocalyptic, that's about 640 BC, so to speak, that period of time, down to 200 AD, actually. It was very popular, and it had this vision that you have this cosmic battle going on between good and evil, and that throughout the entire universe, and that in the midst of all this battle going on, God is going to, for the Jewish people, God would send a Messiah, a Savior, who would marshal the forces of good to defeat the forces of evil. And that vision was very prominent in many, many writings at the time. We have a lot of them in the Bible's Apocrypha. There are many others apart from that. And they go from about written in a heyday, which is around 200 BC to 200 AD. You have all different kinds of it. You have Persians, you have Jewish, you have Christian apocalyptic writing. And you talk about seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds, which is a very ambiguous title. Son of Man, we would think, just means another human being. But for them, Son of Man is this God's anointed Messiah who's going to bring in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out his angels and collect them all from all the ends of the earth, gathering his elect. So you're going to be saved. Some people will combine that with certain other passages and come up with the idea of the millennium, and that the Left Behind series is based on all of that. But what Jesus is saying, I think, is much more contemporary than that. He's not necessarily talking about what's the timetable for the end of the days. He's saying, from the fig tree, verse 28, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you'll know summer is near. So when you see these things taking place, you know that he, the Son of Man, is near at the very gates. Then he says, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have taken place. And I think that's a way of saying that these things, versions of these things, occur in every generation. And so you got to look at these bad things that happen and try to see the God beyond them, and see that God, these bad things are not the final thing to say. Heaven and earth will pass away, but these words will not pass away. So he's trying to provide comfort to his disciples too. And he's going to get back to their saying, their question of when will all this take place? Because in verse 32, he says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So he's saying the end is going to come, but no one knows when it will come. Right now, you're living in your generation and you can see all these signs. So turn away from life in its ordinary case. Turn away from life with all its bad things. Turn away from that and pay attention to God. Turn around towards God. And forget trying to figure out the timetable of all of this. And there, I guarantee you, all throughout church history, there have been people who have been trying to figure out the timetable. The 200s, Amontanus, he was saying God's going to come on this particular date. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. In the Middle Ages, that was very popular. Joachim of Fiore predicted that it would come, and it didn't come when he thought. And so too, Martin Luther was talking, himself was talking about, we are living in the end times. Back in the 1800s, William Miller up in New York said that the end was going to happen. I think it was in 1842 when he got ready, but it didn't happen then. So then you have to re-explain all of that. But, and you have plenty of people today talking about all these signs and whether the end is going to come. Jesus says, only God knows. And he says, beware and keep alert. That's really his point. Well, you do not know when the time will come. So live your life in such a way that you don't care if the end comes. And then he talks about a man going on a journey, leaves his home with his slaves in charge. They all have their work to do. And keep awake. You do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow or at dawn. Else he will find you asleep when he comes suddenly. But I say to you again, I say to all, keep awake. That's really kind of the summary of what he's going to say to his disciples. Don't spend your time looking, trying to figure out the timetable of when all this is going to happen. Instead, get your life right with God now. Prepare to do God's work, not tomorrow, but now. And I don't know what happens with us with this coronavirus, but I do think that there are plenty of people who are having time, having some time to reflect upon what does all this mean, what's important to me, might be a forced kind of confrontation. But I would hope in the midst of all that, we can have Jesus and turn to Jesus and turn to God and say, you know, what's really important? And one thing about being stuck with your family is that you realize that this is an important gift. You want to put value upon each other. Get to be a little bit too close to each other. You get kind of crabby with each other and all of that. But I think this virus can teach us to what's really important. And what Jesus has been saying in all of this text is to tell us what's really important. And what do you think?
It's interesting to hear you say, because as I read it, I thought, oh, he's explaining when the end time will be. But the interpretation that it's each generation, I didn't pick up on that. And so that makes it, it kind of makes it easier to understand that we're going to have these troubles. And it also explains to me why we have these troubles. So, you know, many people will say, we're good people, so bad things don't happen to good people. Or, God is letting these things happen. Here he's saying these things will happen every generation. And that's okay, that's to be expected. So it almost is comforting to know that this is normal. This is the way it is expected to be, and that you just need to go along with it, try to ignore it, and continue to live your life. That feels almost encouraging and soothing to know that this was the plan.
And I think that's especially true when you think that Mark is writing to people who have experienced the complete disaster of war. I mean, right. The Romans were very, very cruel when they came in. And these people were suffering immensely. And Jesus says, yep, this generation has it. But every generation is going to have some form of it until he comes. But what you need to do is to be prepared for him. That might scare some people because they might think that their life is not good. They're not living and acting the way they should and ought to. And They don't want to meet up with God too soon. They want to put it off. But on the other hand, if you look upon Jesus and God as merciful and kind, and one who has gone to a cross out of love for you, then you're going to look forward to his coming. It's not going to be a fearful thing, even though there might be all kinds of fearful realities around you. Those fearful realities can have you just focus upon them, and fear will do that. Fearful, and we have lots of fearful people right now. When you get fearful, you can, the only thing you can see is that which is causing your fear. And Jesus is saying, look beyond your fear. Look beyond it. See the mercy and the kindness of God. And to me, that there can be a lot of comfort in that thing which seems to be so terrifying.
Yes, I agree. It is comforting to know that what's happening is, and the bad things that have happened and are happening are to be expected, and that we need to just look beyond those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know what Pastor John's going to do with that with his sermon, but you'll find out. We'll all find out, I guess.
Yes.
I do think that, you know, as we look at this very odd, peculiar time that we're living in, that we can hear this one say to us, you know Jesus. Know that he's near. Know that he's near. Know that as you live life right now, you want to care for each other. You want to show God's love. You want to show your trust and faith in God. And I think that's a good call.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess we can let it stop there.
Sounds good. But that was very helpful, the interpretation you gave to it. It's very helpful. Very helpful.
Glad for that. Now the Lord be with you and with everyone else who may watch this or hear this.
And also with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.